Welcome to Opus on Siouxland Public Media. I'm your host, Gretchen Gondek, and back in studio is music director and conductor Ryan Haskins of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Gretchen.
We're going to be talking about a wonderful program this Saturday evening called Cherish the Ladies. But first, you know how much I like to kind of revisit and recap last month's concert, which was an artistic achievement for you, certainly, Maestro.
Yeah, it was a wonderful night. As we were just talking before we hit play in our little conversation here, there's always some extra events that we like, and talking about this season, I think we can see that. Well, talking about just what the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra is about, we're sort of about not only the great music in the repertoire for symphony, but also going that extra step and adventuring into new worlds of programming and of presentation, all kinds of wonderful things. And February was sort of, at one point this season, sort of an extreme at that, where we did some wonderful works that are not traditionally played on programs, put them all into one concert, and then had an entire sort of visual experience as well, which was really satisfying, I think, for a lot of people, to bring music to a whole new experience visually, not to detract, of course, but to complement and to highlight that sort of sonic experience that you have each and every time in the seats at the Orpheum, but also sort of that, impressionistic sort of visual experience throughout the night as well. It was a lot of fun.
And Composer of the Year, I found that to be quite an extraordinary piece of music.
Yeah, Patrick O'Malley, we really loved having him here. Great person. And as always, we're so thrilled to be able to partner with some wonderful organizations in our community, one of which is, of course, Western Iowa Tech, which we program consistently with the lifelong learning and our exploration of new music. Patrick gave a wonderful presentation to the members there. We were out at Northwestern. We had some great interaction with other community members. And, of course, his speaking at the concert. He is a guy who I think gets it. And it's part of the purpose of the Composer of the Year program is to promote and discover and to educate those types of young people who are sort of paving the way for what the history books will sort of be, how they'll be written, you know, and when we look back at this time, explore those names and those composers who were able to achieve great things and define music for us today.
And I love how you utilize all of the possibilities and opportunities at the Orpheum and Church Windows, which I've always loved that piece of music, but I've never heard it perform live. And it's such a different experience, but mm-hmm. bringing in the Wurlitzer at the end was so thrilling.
Yeah, it's a beautiful score, full of power and mystery, which sort of all sort of connected into the entire evening. But I would say a good percentage of the orchestra had never played that work before, because it's just not one of the, you know, top hits when it comes to Respighi. But it certainly brings power and might and some amazing musical moments that we were able to share that Saturday night.
And I would say the same of the Debussy, the Sunken Cathedral. Magnificent.
Yeah, I love the arrangement, Colin Matthews' arrangement of that is something really special. And I'm so happy to be able to finally present it out here, because it's been sort of one of my go-tos when it's a hard piece to program, but a piece that I love to program. And this was perfect. Into the rest of the repertoire, it's sort of connected and linked into everything. So
wonderful concert! Congratulations, really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Well, time doesn't stand still, and we're moving forward now, and we're going to get our Irish on this Saturday evening.
That's right. Yeah, Cherish the Ladies is a group that I've known for a while now, probably through PBS, to be honest. That's sort of where most of the people in this country, at least, know of them. They got their start back in the day with the Cincinnati Pops, with Keith Lockhart conducting. Sort of a name of a band who no one really knew, and they hit it off with their performances there in Cincinnati. He immediately booked them for Boston, and they were performing at the Boston Pops and Tanglewood, and their years of huge victories and celebrations and awards and achievements took off from there. And I think we're getting close to the 30th year of performing as a band. And it's, you know, they were talking about it before, speaking with Steve about this, about they tout themselves as this super group, which is sort of funny, but it's actually very apropos. I mean, it's everything that you would want in experience or surrounding Celtic music. And that's, it's even aside from the symphonic aspect. It's, true traditional music. They all have a connection into Irish Celtic music, whether they grew up with it. Many of the bandmates are Irish, born Irish. But everyone, if not born Irish, have Irish parents. So Joni Madden, who is the head of this group, I call her sort of the heartbeat of the band, is one of the world's greatest tin flute tin whistle players, champion whistle players, and she was born in America, but both of her parents are Irish, born in Ireland, and so she grew up with this amazing music from a very young age, and each one of the bandmates has a sort of a very special story, and they all link to family, and so we have that tradition, that long passed on tradition, coming to the stage through an amazing performance with these beautiful people.
I was thinking of some of the elements of traditional, authentic Irish music, drawing from their roots and history and tradition. And I was thinking, in that mix, we hear a lot of really kind of festive, lively tunes, but there's also, you know, we look at the history of Ireland and the immigration of thousands and thousands of Irish coming to this country to escape starvation and the potato famine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, when you look at different cultures, there's always a heartbeat on the arts, culture, or the music side of things, and always you think about any collective of people. And there's always an aspect of the storytelling and the experience told through music. And when you can share that story and experience that story, depending on what group of people we're talking about, it could be hundreds of years old, it could be 50 years ago, there are stories to be told. And this is the great, great traditions of music, in that we experience it like it was yesterday or like it was today. And this program highlights a lot of that, plays through a lot of traditional music. I mean, there are, I don't know, I don't even have to sit back and count, but I mean, I would say almost 15 different works that you're going to hear on Saturday night, and each has their own story. And the great thing about it is that these ladies have a wonderful way of sharing that story with the audience. So it's this sort of all-encompassing evening of amazing traditional Irish Celtic music, great storytelling, and just a wonderful night to celebrate and enjoy the experience together. It is today the most popular Irish Celtic performing group around. And they are the most authentic performing group around. There are a lot of groups.
Mm-hmm.
But this group is very, very special because of their study, because they're all very classical in sort of air quotes, but, you know, train specifically in these instruments that they perform on, the fiddle, the accordion, tin whistle, all of these, you know, very specialized instruments, spent years and years and years studying them, and then also layered onto that tradition that passed through their family. And it's a beautiful way to share music.
Well, speaking of sharing music, let's listen to a composition called The Old Maids of Galway.
Mm. So a couple of old Irish reels for the road. Here we go. This is one called The Old Maids of Galway. 1, 2, 3,
We've been listening to Cherish the Ladies performing The Old Maids of Galway. And before we heard that piece of music, Ryan, you were talking about the instrumentation, which is very particular to performing authentic Irish music.
Yeah, well, the main instrument we think about is that tin whistle in Irish Celtic music, and it's a simple it's a flute, but it's closely related to something like a recorder. Obviously, it's we call it a fipple flute, to be very specific. But it's close to that, or even a Native American flute, sort of traditional, versus, you know, the transverse flute that we have in the symphonic setting. But it has all sort of has a whole book of different techniques that are brought. You know, you have all these glisses and these turns, and it really adds sort of this silver lining to all of this music. And it can be so expressive. An instrument with three holes in it, it can be so expressive and jump from enthusiastic. I mean, you heard here, and we were just listening to it, enthusiastic, joyous, sort of exciting playing. And it can be also very somber and touching and emotional, inward playing. So it's great. And to have the sort of world champion of that instrument on stage presenting, there's really no better way to hear it. And Joni is really a remarkable person. She has countless awards and recognitions. She herself has sold over 500,000 albums. She's performed on over 200 different recordings, three of which have been Grammy Award winning recordings. She's been inducted. She's the youngest member to be inducted into the Irish American Musicians Hall of Fame. She was in 2016 Irish America Magazine's top 50 most powerful Irish women in the world. This is a very prolific person who has the most wonderful way of presenting a story, a music, and her tale. Audiences fall in love with her every time, and she's a great spirit. And you're gonna experience that to its fullest.
Well, even if you're not Irish, we want you to come to this concert, because included in the price of your ticket, a very special kind of pre-concert event.
Yeah, at 5:30 in the lobby of the Orpheum, we're going to have an Irish fest, which will be full of more music, led by Father Patrick Walsh and some of his friends playing music, and with food, with appetizers, with green beer, all these kinds of fun things that you have to partake in if you're of age, of course, around this time of year. And that's beginning at 5:30 to kick everything off, and then the performance will begin at 7:30.
And Ryan, we really want people to come and enjoy this concert as the symphony season, I can't believe it, is pretty much drawing to a close. And we're going to talk about our finale concert in just a moment. But I thought it'd be fun to hear another piece of music featuring Cherish the Ladies. This is called The Castle of Dromore.
October winds lament around the castle of Dromore, but peace is in her lofty halls, my dearest treasure store. The autumn winds may droop and die, a bird of spring singing hush and by lulu, 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 lulu,
The Castle of Dromore, featuring the very talented ladies comprising the ensemble Cherish the Ladies, which you can hear Saturday night at the Orpheum Theater, Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, and come a little bit early at 5:30, enjoy some live music and an ambiance. Even if you're not Irish, you can pretend you're Irish, have a little green beer. And some tasty hors d'oeuvres, and enjoy.
And I want to also mention one more thing, and that's in addition to the band, the five ladies in the band, they're also traditional Irish step dancers that are being brought into town for this experience.
That I did not know. How exciting!
Yeah, and two of them, two of the guys, were picked from Riverdance. Actually, one actually was lead dancer on it and left because he was found amazing success around the world as sort of a solo dancer. So there will be dancers on stage. So it really is a really special occasion. You're not going to see anything like it from the, you know, extreme levels of sort of revisiting those. Some of these songs are, you know, 200, 300, probably plus years old, and experiencing that and enjoying that, the dancing, the music, all played the entire concert with the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra and the amazing musicians that I have the privilege to work with frequently. Every time I'm in town, how does that work? It's going to be such a wonderful night, and I hope people will come out and take advantage of this really special opportunity.
And looking back on the season, I say this every time I think we visit, but it was really quite an extraordinary season, you know, beginning with Zuwa Bailey and Fantasia, and just a wonderful kind of eclectic mix of wonderful programming. And we're looking forward to, I guess we'll call it the big season finale. This is the 100th anniversary observance of the birth of Leonard Bernstein, composer and conductor. And we're doing something, again, I have to use the word extraordinary.
Yeah, we are. It's an incredible feat. And we're a few weeks away from everything happening here in town. So it's a full cast, full production of right now. It's around, I think it's about 34, 33 cast members of for the entire production of West Side Story. And I've had the wonderful privilege to see all of these people in auditions and in York, and we're featuring some local people as well, some great, very talented local people in this production. But the real significance of this is the combination of orchestra and production. And traditionally, when you see a Broadway musical, you know that the orchestra is somewhere, but you don't normally see them. They're either in the pit or they're in some places in New York, they're in a different building and they pipe in the sound live. But here with our production, we're going to actually be on stage, which will bring the music, the score, the experience to a whole new level, and a level that really has never been done before. So it's an opportunity to see full choreography and staging, and at very important points in the production, bring that the orchestra, bring more highlight to the orchestra, bring more attention to the music, which is the very point of this. Orchestras around the world, as you mentioned, are celebrating the 100th birthday with a variety of programming. So I knew that would be happening, but I thought, well, in Sioux City, we try things a little differently, so let's do this. And it's going to be the only opportunity that anyone has ever seen it in history, really. So we're very lucky to have that opportunity to present that, and it'll start here at the beginning of April. 2 weeks, 3 weeks of production of tech and rehearsals. They'll all be living here in Sioux City on campus at Western Iowa Tech Community College, which we could not have done it without them, certainly. And a number of very important volunteers and board members, including your fine self. We absolutely could not have done it without this sort of Herculean effort to put all of this together and to get through to make it work. Not to mention the entire production team, which is somewhere around 12 people. So it's huge. It's going to be grand and spectacular, and can't wait for April.
And what's exciting about this is the community partnerships, far beyond the orchestra and Western Iowa Tech, which you mentioned, but a real opportunity to shoulder, and working through the details and the logistics, put on a tremendous performance of West Side Story, which you said has never been done before. So in that sense, it's groundbreaking, but I just feel this wonderful kind of energy as all of the things, the elements and different pieces of this production are coming together.
Absolutely. And that's for those of us who are very lucky to work in theater work, whether it's opera or musicals or whatever the event is. That's, for me, always the most amazing part of putting an opera together, putting a production together, is the community aspect of having all of these departments developing and testing and experimenting, and then bringing everything to the table where everyone's at 100% max, and everyone just drops it there and it gets put together with amazingly talented people. That's what we have here. And like you said, this is enhanced tenfold by the community, the actual community aspect of it, which is not always something that exists in things like this. I certainly have not experienced a community-wide sort of efforts towards supporting a production like this. It's really remarkable. It doesn't surprise me because Sioux City, I gave up on being surprised in Sioux City because it's maybe early on back, whatever, 8 years ago now, but I don't expect anything less here. I mean, it's really remarkable. It speaks to the city. It speaks to the people here. It speaks to the value and the importance that they see, that the Sioux City Symphony gives and provides. Definitely a sort of cultural heartbeat that we have pumping through the city, and it's very exciting.
And if you're wondering about some of the folks who are going to be coming here from different parts of our country, namely New York, of course, but these young people, can I call them young people?
You can call them young people.
Professional young people, yeah. Are at the top of their game.
Yeah, we have, we will talk about this, I'm sure, here soon, but we have people coming from right off of Broadway productions that are currently running. I mean, they literally will have one day between their run that they've just, you know, had for however many months, 8 months or whatever. And they'll have one day to recover, jump on the plane, and start the next production. And this is the life of them. Many of these cast members have been a part of the national tour. Many of them have been part of the international tour. Of West Side Story. So it's, and these dancers, because West Side Story relies on a lot of dance, not just the amazing score, but these dancers, I've never seen anything like it. And I've seen a lot of things around the world on some amazing stages, but I'll go out on a limb and say I don't think that the Orpheum stage has ever seen dancers like this ever. It's really remarkable of these talented young people, and you know what, the best part of it is that they're all just so excited to get here because this is a unique opportunity for them that they don't get to experience, where the entire set and stage is living and breathing around the orchestra. That's new and different. I mean, I am standing there and the orchestra is sitting there the entire production. We don't move. We're not hidden. And certain instruments will be highlighted with lights at different points so that, you know, you see a parallel between the clarinet and Maria or the cello solo and Tony. And I mean, it's everything that I want it to be and more. When we started first talking about this, whatever, almost 2 years ago, probably now. So.
And the score is really interesting because you're going to have a drum set and there's some jazz rhythms and then, of course, the mambo.
Right, yeah. I mean, Bernstein is, I mean, one of the greatest. And his scores always explore these different areas. And, of course, his fascination with pop culture and pop music. With jazz and with just Latin, you know, the effervescence of Latin music and rhythm and culture is sort of injected into this score. It's just an amazing exploration of who he was as a composer. And arguably, I mean, most classical musicians, I think that West Side Story, even though it's a musical, many of them will rate this score at the top of what he, you know, what he's known for. And it's not, you know, it's not Candide, it's not the opera. It's they're very comparable. In fact, well, we'll let the audience decide what scores they prefer, but it is an amazing piece of music, and the story is beautiful and appropriate today. And that I'm actually most excited about, how this storyline between two star-crossed lovers who aren't allowed to be lovers and who are separated with everything between them and kept apart, fall in love. And what happens when things like that happen? I mean, it's such a touching story, and you know, it's the classic Romeo and Juliet story. That's what this was based off of. So it's going to be really incredible.
We keep using the word groundbreaking, but I think about when this first came out and the Jerome Robbins, the choreography and the music, it must have been such a different experience and so very American.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, I don't know if I could say it better than that. It's it is a true, I think experiment is an appropriate word, to be honest. I mean, because it was shocking, you know, it was shocking. Like a lot of great music that we perform regularly now, that first premiere, that first downbeat, it was a shocking experience because it didn't hide away from controversy and, you know, it didn't fit into a little box, which is sort of like what we do here. It's out of the box and it takes risks, you know, without risking anything, creativity suffers. In order to be creative and truly exploring that creativity, you have to take risk. And I'm just thankful that I have a community that believes in that as well, to make this happen.
I think that's a great note to end our conversation on today, taking risks. And that's something that you seem to do so seamlessly and effortlessly and with great courage and tenacity. And I think, you know, as a board member and someone who has been in a position of appreciating all that the orchestra does in our community, we really have to say thank you to you, Ryan, for all that you do and all your achievements, which completely from season to season continue to astound me.
Well, thanks.
We want to mention West Side Story, April 21st and 22nd. There will be two performances Saturday night at 7:30. And
with the gala preceding that.
Right, the gala. Mm-hmm. And tickets available to that as well. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to know more, you can contact Trinette at the symphony office. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be the matinee on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I always like two performances to these types of productions. It's a completely different experience. So you should come to both.
And we want to encourage people to come to Cherish the Ladies on Saturday evening, 7:30 at the Sioux City Orpheum Theater, preceded by a really fun event, Ryan, at 5:30.
Irish Fest, lots of fun music, food, and green beer.
You just can't get any more Irish than that. And step dancers.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. You've got it all. It's going to be a great night.
Thank you, Maestro Haskins. And we're going to continue now with more music featuring Cherish the Ladies. Here's a medley of Irish tunes followed by The Cat's Meow.
Thank you.
Music featuring Cherish the Ladies performing a tune called The Cat's Meow, and that was preceded by a medley of Irish tunes. Cherish the Ladies performing tomorrow night, Saturday evening, 7:30 at the Orpheum Theater with the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. Ryan Haskins, of course, conducting from the podium. And that will be preceded by an Irish Fest in the Orpheum Theater beginning at 5:30. And with our time remaining today on Opus, we'll turn to an orchestral work and Three Irish Pictures by Gerard Victory.
Thank you.
3 Irish Pictures of Gerard Victory. This is Gretchen Gondick, your host for Opus. Thank you very much for joining us today. This is Siouxland Public Media, KWIT Sioux City 90.3 and KOJI 90.7, broadcasting from the campus of Western Iowa Tech Community College.